Well, they suckered us in and spat us out. Welcome to Review It Yourself, where shockingly I'm actually reviewing something myself because I genuinely couldn't inflict this review upon anybody else. I'm reminded of the Joker in The Dark Knight when he says, "It's not about money, it's about sending a message." Now, anyone diving into this expecting a massive political discussion, yet the whole tagline of the show, no politics, no pandering, no point. So I'm not going to delve into all that. But Russell T Davies, let's just start, as we mean to go on, is a master of storytelling. His series have genuinely been some of the best writing in recent British TV history. His nuanced writing with a keen eye for those honest everyday conversations, often neglected as other writers by other writers as mundane and pointless, he's turned us into an art. More recently, infused his work with commentary on the plight of gay and lesbian people during the AIDS crisis in It's a Sin, the future bisexual people, of course, and the future in Years and Years. But that's always been there, the groundbreaking Queer as Folk, along with shows such as Bob and Rose, The Second Coming, Casanova, all before his epic relaunch of Doctor Who in 2005, that is. This one wasn't an epic relaunch, but we'll get there. Oh boy. He jettisoned that commentary. Well, that subtle commentary. The way the TARDIS jettisoned the woman who fell to Earth and pretending she was the Doctor. Less a celebration of 60 years of Doctor Who and more a bizarrely knees up, more reminiscent of Awake. This was just a scattergun idea done far better long ago. Let's start with the Tsar Beast. This episode, it needed to win people back. Like you can't put across more obviously how much needed to win people back. Like, as much as on certain social medias it looks like Doctor Who's thriving and everyone's loving it, and as I say, everyone's entitled to their opinion. This is just mine. No issue if you love it to bits. I'm really happy for you. I couldn't stand it. It had to win people back. For anyone outside the UK, the ratings have dropped to pieces. Doctor Who broke America, then America dropped it like hotcakes. Other countries all over the globe, Australia, different places used to listen to this, watch this show and enjoy it. It's not happening now. The merchandise is on its backside. I mean, I remember 2005 when all this stuff started coming out. You got your TARDIS, you got all sorts of stuff, that all the figures they brought out, Captain Jack, the mocks of Balhoon, all, like loads, the Slitheen. My mum grabbed me a few years back, I think, because she thought I'd like it. The 13 Doctor's Companions, £1 in B&M, £1. And if you didn't know, a bit of trivia, B&M actually stands for Bargains and More. Honestly, this is how much people don't care. Like, they're selling this stuff off for a quid. You can't buy some of the old figures for a quid. Go online, that people want that stuff. So they needed to get people back because, like, not the majority of the audience is gone. Gone. And yes, you can try and use the argument of, well, that's 2005 to 2010 or 2013, the 50th anniversary, which got like 10 million or 11 million or whatever it got. And that was on the BBC, and then it gets broadcast on cinemas all over the world. 3D. The marketing was unbelievable. Bit of a shame Eccleston didn't come back, but you can't have it all. John Hurt was marvellous. The late great John Hurt, marvellous. And I wasn't enamoured by Moffat's run, but dear God, looking back, did I judge him too harshly? Oh dear me, where do I start? So the Tsar Beast, you need an eye. When we heard Russell T Davies was coming back, people thought, "Oh my God, there's a glimmer of hope." For like the real fan, like proper, you're really into it. You're nerd bit, you collect the stuff. They thought, "Yes, this is gonna be class." And then we get this, and you're like, and the people who really aren't into this stuff but would watch it, not into podcasts, not into the real nerd side of it. People like my brother who love Tennant, like, "Oh my God, David Tennant's back." That was the draw for them. Well, oh, David Tennant's back, Catherine Tate's back. Oh, this is going to be amazing. And I'm after that disastrous, horrific Whittaker run, Chibnall run. But for me, the decline of writing quality began arguably in Moffat's run. I think, bless Moffat, I think he stretched himself a little too thin with Sherlock, which had Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, which I'm still yet to see, but my dad loved it. Was a real hit over here, and he was running that and Doctor Who at the same time. Now, I mean, that's got to be tough. So I think quite a few people did. A couple of people, my grandparents dropped off during the Smith years because they couldn't keep track of Moffat's multi-layered story. They struggled with it. So, but watching them all together, it's good stuff, but I understand why people started to drop off. And then in the specifically Capaldi's last year, they got hit with some low ratings. Even though, I mean, I've heard rumour he was meant to stay on for another year. Moffat wanted to go. Chibnall apparently says, "Well, I want the job, but I'm casting a woman." and I wouldn't mind. I'd seen Jodie Whittaker in Broadchurch, funnily enough, with David Tennant, but and the unbelievable Olivia Colman, who, funnily enough, starred in The 11th Hour, which this needed to be. This needed to be The 11th Hour. But anyway, I'm going off track because I actually have a script and I'm still waffling on. They needed to bring Beetle back, is all I'm trying to say. It might not have emphasized that enough. Capaldi's last year, really, it was the quality was declining a little bit. Still the odd episode, but Capaldi was marvelous. I do think his Doctor was a bit inconsistent in that they went kind of like the really grouchy route and then seemed to panic a little bit and bring it back and try and have him as this kind of cool granddad with like a guitar. I do need to rewatch those, but I ran out of steam and I couldn't get into the 10th series. I'll have to give it another go. And then when we hit the worst ratings ever for Doctor Who, like ever, even before it was cancelled, we hoped that would end here. Boy, were we wrong. My biggest issue in film and TV, like, is when there's something, there's a gem there's quality there, but it gets lost in amongst all the cack. Now, as I've said, I stay away from politics on this podcast, but since this show's forcing it on me, right, I'll say this, and I'm not, commenting personally on what I think of it in terms of the politics they're trying to push, but I'll tell you this. What you're selling, the majority of people aren't buying. People don't want to be lectured, belittled, insulted, pandered to, or generally treated like an idiot. Telling an audience what you think they need to know, but stripping it of any nuance, subtlety, any opposing position, or differing view, it just comes across as, well, frankly, insulting. I've already used that once, but insulting and just so boring and obvious. I mean, we didn't think it could get any worse than the Chibnall era, and this is arguably worse. It feels worse. It's, and people, and if people think, I mean, oh, well, you're just reacting like this to get, well, trust me, I don't get that many views anyway, so this isn't going to hurt. My average audience for the week as I record this was 25. So this is not like I'm going for this big enraged anger hit, like this hot take. I hate that word. Not like I'm going for that. This is genuinely how I feel. This was such a missed opportunity. What, like, they can't help themselves, can they? They can't help themselves. Like, oh, right. But the warning signs were there. The bizarre changes to Davros, stripping him of any semblance of his former self in the Children in Need special was worrying. It was, I mean, David Tennant's acting in that was, I felt a little bit off. It just, he felt a bit scatterbrained, a little bit out of control. But I, a bit like Whittaker's Doctor, but I actually thought, okay, give him the benefit of the doubt. It's before Davros becomes the Davros that we know and love, even though he's evil as anything. But then we found out with, the behind the scenes that it's not. That's how Davros is from now on, because this is 2023. It's the arrogance. The arrogance to you take something that was made, created, thought about, made by people decades ago, with like 10 pence to make an episode. I mean, some of the early episodes of Doctor Who were really cheap, but it's part and parcel of the charm. So then the quality of the writing has to be there. This is the opposite. They've got loads of money thrown into it, so the CGI looks simultaneously unbelievable and absolutely terrible. Like, and it takes away. It's like, oh, look at the, as Frankie Boyle once said, look at the shiny, shiny. And it's like, is this, that was a terrible Scottish accent. Sorry, Chad Tsunami and Ryan Walker in Seismic Cinema. Yeah, it was, it wasn't good. It was not good. But I actually thought with Tennant's, the Doctor, I thought, oh, maybe he's a bit scatterbrained because he's just regenerated. They're always, the Doctor's, he's always a little bit off it when he's changed. I mean, flipping it, Tennant's Doctor slept an entire episode. But I still love that one. The Christmas Invasion, what an episode. Belittling your main character also does no good. Does you no good. Terrible English. As I sent to Luke from Nerdstalgic, who I chatted with, mainly about I'm a Celebrity, I've got to be honest, I was more interested in that. Especially after I saw the Star Beast. But as I said to Luke, that this show just, it won't survive the politics. It really, I mean, all I did through this whole three episodes, just roll my eyes. Like, I just, oh. I wanted to like it. I genuinely, this is what I mean. When people come out with their opinions like this and they're angry about it, you can only be angry about something if you care. Like, you actually care. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking anger in terms of TV and films, right? And shows and books. You can only be angry about the way something's been translated or made or interpreted if you actually care about it, comes from your passion. If you didn't care about it, then you wouldn't bother. You just wouldn't, because you think, I don't care. Which brings us to a lot of the main crux of Doctor Who now. Because of the way the show's gone, people don't care. They don't care. And even the people like me who've grown up with Doctor Who, the new Doctor Who, love it. Just think, I'm not watching it anymore. My brother, actually, to be fair, to try and balance the view a little bit, he enjoyed it. Like the fact Tennant came back, found a few moments eye rolling, but enjoyed it on the whole. And he's actually looking forward to the Christmas one. Oh, you're going to watch it? I said, no. Well, you'll give it a chance. No. I've given them a chance. No. No. I gave Whittaker a chance. Watch the whole of season 11. Watch bits of 12. Watch the whole of the Flux. We'll get to the Flux, don't worry. But I wanted Russell T. Davies to blow it out of the water, but they just can't help themselves. And the problem is if you make a show from very, very narrow political leanings, you've got no room for those who disagree or have reservations about having argue what arguably comes across as a party political broadcast on the television. It's meant to be entertainment. It's meant to be escapism. I'm just talking about the issue of putting politics that aren't nuanced into a show. I'm not actually discussing the politics that Russell T. Davies is pushing into the show, because I'm not doing the politics. I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into it. For me, right? For me, yes, you can try and ignore the overt politics and the overt messaging in the show and try and enjoy it. Particularly the Blue Yonder, or whatever it's called, Great Blue, Big Blue, whatever. That's an okay episode. But even then, I'd only rate it maybe as good as Fear Her, which, I mean, that's about as good as it is. And I don't know. I just, go and watch Rose or The 11th Hour and then watch this. Shows that relaunched the series. Because, I mean, there was a massive challenge after Tennant left and Russell T. Davies left to go, okay, there's this new guy, Matt Smith. No one's ever heard of him, really. Brand new, youngest Doctor at the time to ever take on the role. Moffat took over, who arguably created some of the best episodes ever. Ever. Blink. The Doctor Dances. Oh, what was the other one? the empty child. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, but you didn't know how he was going to cope full time. You really didn't. Anyway, I'm losing myself again. I'm just saying that this doesn't hold a candle to it at all. Some of my other favourite episodes, Turn Left, Midnight. Even, I just don't, I struggle to figure in my head how the person who ran the show like that managed to get to this. After the abysmal Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder was a much smaller story, focusing upon characters. Unfortunately, it came across as Russell T Davies trying to emulate Moffat. It was, I mean, it was much better, but it still felt superficial. And there's nowhere near episodes like Midnight or The Waters of Mars. It's from the same guy, I think. At least the showrunner, I think he wrote Waters of Mars. Midnight, I can't remember. Pretty sure he did. But even so, you think, Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on? The acting, again, just fell off. Like, we got no time to figure out what this 14th Doctor was. I personally would have liked him to go with his Scottish accent to really differentiate, but I guess they didn't want to. And really have him as kind of a different character, but because I get them trying to keep him similar to 10 but different. And in the end, you just thought it was like 10 but a bit weaker and just, but then at the same time, nastier in terms of their view of humans. I mean, 10 could always be arrogant. My God, look at the Waters of Mars and the Time Lord Victorious. We knew he really could turn. And that, even Tennant, sorry, Matt Smith had the darkness, the 50th anniversary when they're talking about how many children died on Gallifrey and the man who forgets and, when he's like, what would be the point? Coldness. That episode, I can't remember off the top of my head, where Smith says, don't ever think you can play tricks with me. Don't ever, ever think you're capable of that. Or don't play games with me. So cold and like all this. Yeah, this is not someone who's human. Like, brilliant. And you get this. Oh, digging me. Oh, but no swearing in this one. Yeah, far too much CGI again. When will I learn? Money. People would take the best sci-fi, best written sci-fi show in the world, set in a cardboard bloody shed that terrifies you about what was outside, like Midnight, than they would this. Big flashy colours. Oh my God, look at this. And yes, meant to be a kids show, which then begs the question as to why you're pushing all these politics into it, but I'm not getting into that. But Doctor Who was always marvellous at. It was something all the family could watch. Do you want to sit down with your family and watch this? God, dear me. And it was, people. It was genuinely, in Tennant's run, and Eccleston's. Well, sorry, Eccleston didn't have a Christmas special, did he? Everybody watched this at Christmas. I mean, the one with Kylie Minogue. What, they got like 15 million? And yeah, again, oh well, TV's different, streaming this, that, the other. No. If something's good, people will watch it. Strictly Come Dancing battered this in the ratings. Battered it. I'm a Celebrity beat it most nights. I love I'm a Celebrity. Strictly battered it. And Strictly's on the BBC. Starts just after Doctor Who, I think. Or, well, it might be a couple. This the time of these ones was strange. Starts, I mean, on the same night. Battered it. And why? Is it because there's no politics in it and it's just people dancing? Well, you could argue it. Or is it because it's just a piece of escapism? Who knows? Who knows? when people would rather watch God knows whatever the series of Strictly Come Dancing it is over this. I mean, I'm trying to. Did you have? Oh, I don't know if the Americans had Strictly Come Dancing. Try to think what a good example would be. I was going to say Pop Idol, but how old am I? Jesus Christ. Okay, this would be like an episode of the American. I don't even know if it's still going. Again, old. The American X Factor. Or America's Got Talent. That is genuinely what it's like beating an episode of Doctor Who. These are the depths we've fallen to. And the plus 7 day ratings have been no great shakes either. I think about 7 million, which is about the same as Strictly Got on the night. Dreadful. Dreadful. yeah. Confirming the Timeless Child. Mentioning the Flux. The Flux? Who cares about the Flux? It was arguably some. Well, I mean, it wasn't even Doctor Who. I mean, me and Clayton from Men Who Like Movies did an episode, well, on the whole series of The Flux. And bless him. Bless him for going through that with me again. Oh, I mean, did you watch The Flux? You listening, did you watch it? No, exactly. Exactly. And to be fair, though, if you're one of the few people like me who watched it, I mean, I watched it for the podcast like a fool. You'll know it was an absolute dry lunch. Even for people who like Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. And I do know people who loved her Doctor. Luke from Nerdstalgic, hope you don't mind me mentioning it, Luke. Good mate of mine on the pod. Has been guesting, chat to him all the time. He loves Jodie's Doctor. Loved the 13th Doctor. Nice one. Even someone like Luke, someone, I don't mean like that. Even someone like Luke, who likes the Doctor, is what I was going to say. He would probably accept that, okay, yeah, the Flux, he had problems with it. Well, I'm pretty sure we've had that chat, to be honest. I mean, yeah, the Flux was just an absolute dry lunch. And it wasn't even worth the effort to take to physically boo it. That's one of them things. It was that bad. I mean, the Flux felt like the series equivalent of a toddler making one of those pieces, you know, you stick on the fridge with a magnet and then secretly bin after a week. Just glitter and dried pasta, PVA, just stuff everywhere. Just pointless. Just throwing everything literally at something. Just throwing off, see if it sticks. But, you know, at least with kids, they're making it for you. It's lovely. I'm making it, you know, if it's your kid, are they making it for somebody? Are they making it for friendly? You know, it's nice. There's no malice behind it. There's no ulterior motive with it. The Flux was just horrendous. But you can understand why some people are arguing why that. They're not making the show for me anymore. But it's just a stage to broadcast this communique, this message, if you will. But those are just the people who might be on YouTube, might have a podcast. They're the ones who actually still care enough, at least till this point, to kind of say that I don't like this. You've got the millions more people who might have just wanted a bit of entertainment, just wanted that daft Sean wanted to watch the Daleks, the Cybermen. Entertaining. Problem with this stuff, it's boring. It's just badly written and chock full of politics. It's boring. That leads us to The Giggle. I mean, to be fair to Neil Patrick Harris, he was absolutely brilliant. He showed everyone up. I take him as a slightly unhinged doctor. But I think Shute, he has no chance. Again, I think an actor with promise. Seen him in Sex Education, he was a standout in that. Arguably the best character, at least the first couple of series. I think it lost its way a little bit, but as Netflix shows have an awful tendency to do. But, I mean, the stupid bi-generation, however the hell you'd want to try and Sate. Just dreadful. What a cop out. If you don't trust your doctor, like they keep saying, Russell T Davies and BBC keep saying how he came and did one audition, that's it, one, right? And gets the role. Like, Jesus Christ. Even Jim Parsons, when he went up for Sheldon Cooper, they brought him back twice because they thought the first time was so good it might have been a fluke. Didn't need to do that check with Shooty. So, geez, this guy, this is going to be unbelievable. He's got no chance. If you've got that little faith in him that you feel you've got to keep David Tennant's doctor around, why? That the regeneration of the 10th Doctor was perfect. Perfect. He goes to see all his companions again. He sees Rose before, you know, was it? Is it Christmas Eve? No, New Year's Eve, 2005, whatever, 2000, in 2005. Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest, right? They only brought Tennant back and Catherine Tate to get a bit of interest. Let's not pretend otherwise. But that tragic ending of the Doctor Donna was perfect. This tragedy that Donna would never know. But as the Ood said, there will, again, I'm paraphrasing off the top of my head, but that, you know, as we will sing you to your sleep, Doctor. There are planets in the sky who will sing of your names, the doc who will sing of the Doctor Donna. Unbelievable. And then we get this. Gets shot to the chest with a stupid bloody ray gun. And then, oh, can you push? Push, Doctor, push. I can see the head. Oh, yeah, there's a head. And arms. And pants. Where's his trousers? Right, hang on a minute, hang on. Dave, where's his trousers? I know you're American. I know. I borrowed Bill's team again. Where? No. Well, where's his? All right. Pants. Fine. Yeah, he was. All right. We call him pants, trousers. Okay. All right. Fine. You're American. Right. Where was his pants? Where was Shooty's trousers? His pants. Where were they? Why didn't he put any on? Oh well, you know, the idea was that he could start off and like they share each other's clothes. I'm like, no, I get that. Why didn't, I mean, he was there for about another, like, he was there for scenes after that. Why didn't you find him from trousers? All right. Oh, God, bloody Americans. Why didn't you find him from pants? Where were they? But I've got to be honest. All right, Dave, just Dave. Dave, go have some, what is it you drink? Olipop? Or chai tea? Go have some, whatever. Sorry about that, everyone. You just can't get the staff. But by that point, I genuinely just didn't care. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry to be daft, but you've got to have a bit of fun with it, because if I didn't laugh, I'd cry. They only brought Tennant back for interest. It's the only reason why anyone's watching this. I'm sorry. And I'll tell you this. If this was a Whittaker episode, it would be getting ripped to pieces by the majority of people. No. But, you know, if only the tragic ending of the Doctor Donna, if only they could have just let it go. Well, like so many others, I've let this show go. And now we face, not to steal the lyrics of a marvellous song, but. And now we face the final curtain. I this is just my personal opinion. It doesn't matter what I think. They could continue regardless. I mean, they've already filmed two. Is it two series of the 15th Doctor? Which begs the question: Are they recording like a couple of series because then it doesn't matter how bad the ratings are, and they can kind of say, "Oh well, this was always the plan to do a couple of series and end." And then Russell T Davies leaves again, and they quietly just let it go. Oh, just let it go. I think the show's finished. I mean, Russell T Davies had so much good faith for someone who brings the show back in the manner that he did. To squander it like this. Just completely squander it with his sanctimonious pap. You know, and again, yeah, and a bit about the 14th Doctor being nasty about humans and how our innate, how no, it's, you know, about us. I mean, it was just embarrassing as well. Oh, I'm anti whatever this is, and I'm. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed by how. I was embarrassed for them. That doesn't bother me, but I was just thinking, I'm embarrassed for you. Like, what's this? Like, this is. No. Take out an off the pace Tennant and Tate, and there's just nothing in this. The only scene that was even remotely worthy was seeing Wilfred Mott again. My brother enjoyed it. My grandma and granddad actually watched this, and my granddad said to me, "Oh, did you watch Doctor Who?" And I looked at it and said, "Yeah, I did." I said I wasn't a fan. My grandma said it was a lot of crap. And I can't say any better than that, really. But again, well, no, I d yeah, I was going to say if you enjoyed it, that's fine. Of course it is. But anyway, I'm going to stop rolling my eyes at the mere thought of this thing that says it's Doctor Who. This isn't Doctor Who. I'm sorry, this isn't. And these aren't little changes they've made to it. They've essentially said that, like the Doctor's done, shoot, we got wise, like a new Doctor, let go of all this guilt. The guilt made the character, you damn fools. You should know, Russell, you made the choice. You made the choice to bring the Doctor back and have him this scarred survivor. It'd be nice to know what you think of this. So you can rate this show. Easiest place, to be fair, probably to give me some feedback is either through your Spotify, because you can answer questions there. Directly when you listen to it, you can also go to Good Pods. You can comment directly underneath the episodes. You can rate them. Would be nice to see. Am I? Do you think I'm completely off the mark on this, or do you wholeheartedly agree? Can't even say it. But I've been Sean, the host of Review It Yourself. We're on Twitter. It's at Yourself Review. We're also on Instagram. It's Review It Yourself Podcast 2021. Yeah, let us know what you think. If you've listened to this and you're a podcaster or a YouTuber and you'd like to guest with me to have a bit of a discussion about this, reach out. I mean, be a hell of a sale, but yeah, I'll consider it. But as ever, I thank you massively for listening to this episode. And, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. It's all I can ask for. It's all I can ask for. Did I flirt too closely with a political line this episode? I don't think so. But, maybe I'm wrong. But, unlike the Doctor Who creators now, or writers, I'll take your criticism. I'll take it on board. If you think I've thrown my toys out the pram, fine. That's your opinion. You're perfectly entitled to it. No problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever. But it'd be good to see, because I'll happily listen, and you want to convince me. I tell you what, there you go. We also do the Defend It Yourself side series if you'd like to come on and defend the 60th anniversary specials. I mean, if you could just tell me how the specials celebrate the 60th anniversary, I'd like to hear that argument for one. But yeah, come on. Come on, we'll have a chat about it. And if you'd like to hear a little bit more, we've done a couple of Doctor Who episodes. I think I did a review of Rose with Aaron from Time to Talk Titanic. Also, I did an episode, was it with Mark from Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, way back when, like over a year ago, where we were talking about, the hopes for the return of Doctor Who. Oh, I haven't listened back to that since. Anyway, Thank you for listening this far. Yeah, thank you very much. Now to the film floggers advert. Ben's ghosting me.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the flog.
Welcome to Film Floggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Mackers doing our intro?
I must be gold!
That's great. It's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben.
Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the flog, shall we?